Father. Bless the holy name, O Lord. Thank you for this day, this morning. The Lord, we can once again gather together in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To be able, Lord, once again to learn a little of thy word and bring to memories, Lord, of your plan and the purpose. The Lord, in our knowledge, receiving thy word, Father, that we may meditate over these things, Father, things that is coming, the thing that is happening now, Father, Lord. And even to look back into history, the lives of your people, the saints who have laid their footprints on the sand of time for us to follow. The Lord, we should be thankful. The Lord, looking at all these things and meditating upon it, Father, that we can say that we are a special people blessed by you. A people, Lord, that was once out there in this world walking in sin, in darkness. Sinners. But now, Lord, we are saved by your grace, your mercy, by that which you have given us, O Lord, to come to this revelation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. To know that we are sinners, we need a Savior. And we are thankful, Father, they bring us to see this. Because, Lord, life is like a vapor. One moment here, next moment it's gone. But Lord, we know the life that you give to us is to live. And therefore, Father, you said, as Lord Jesus said, that I came that you might have life, life more abundantly. And so we thank you, Father, for this abundant life, Lord, that we have received. So let us be fruitful, Father, we ask today that you bless us now in the hearing of thy word, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. This will be the ending of the series of the Trail of the Serpent. The major part or the most important part that we have already covered all these last 41 Sundays. And today we just want to cover the rest simply because we already covered it in our series called From Eternity to Eternity of Time. So now we just want to pick up and just emphasize some important facts. Alright, so now let us, we would like to look at this chart that we have already in print. And those who might be viewing the video, watching the video, you can actually download it from our website, this chart. Now, in the Trail of the Serpent that we have covered so far, as I said, this the sin of serpent is basically affecting not only the physical being of a person, but it also touches the spirit. And we know what causes the fall. Serpent had sexual intercourse with Eve and produced Cain. Cain is that seed of the serpent. And in the mixture between Cain's people and the Satanic people, the son of Adam, by his wife Eve, of course, and these intermarriages create giants and people that are wicked. That's why the flood was sent to destroy them. But after the flood, we already seen that Noah married a Canaanite woman and so produced three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, from which the whole population of the world came from. Every one of us came from one of these three sons or the mixture of these three sons. And so in this, that's what we call the original sin, which is inherent in us. It is the very mixture of the gene of the serpent. And a lot of people just, denominations say that, what do you mean to say that Eve had a sexual intercourse with a snake? They think the root serpent is a snake. And that's the funny thing about people's association of words, you know. But we know the Bible says serpent. And what did Jesus call the Pharisee? He said, you vipers. So are there really snakes moving on the ground, you know, on his belly? No, it's a word, it's a name. You see, and the serpent originally was a created But he was not created in the image of God. He was able to talk like man and have conversation with man. And the divinity was so close. But then, when God judged him, became a snake. Because of God on his body, he moved among all those snakes out there. You know. And therefore, there is no more any creature that can have sexual intercourse with the humankind and produce another creature. The link is gone. The affinity is gone. As I said, China tried to create a species of gorilla man, with a gorilla with a human being. But you can't. You just cannot anymore. Right? The evidence is clear that we can see this crossbreeding, that the creature called serpent was able to have a child, a son called Cain, through the mankind of Eve. It's clear by looking at what's out there in the animal kingdom. We have the zebra and the donkey, we have the horse and the donkey that create the mule. Alright. And many others out there. The lion and the tiger, you get a liger. So these are evidence, but you know, the Bible is such that we can understand if we want to really look into it. And very carefully, keeping away from tradition. So now the tree of the serpent, that seed that is following closely to try to destroy God's plan, lies in humankind today. And because it is there, because the blood is life. So, and life came from the Spirit of God. God gives that life. So that as long as every one of us, we can have this effect of that supernatural nature surfacing. We if we think of those things that you know that is carnal, we will revive them. You see. But not because we are children of God, we don't want to think of this thing, because the Bible teaches us to be overcome. And there be anything that are good virtue, think on those things. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, things like that. You know. So with the tail of the serpent, we know they all were destroyed out there, the pure serpent seed in the flood. So the rest of it is just embedded in humankind now. And some of us, some people upon this earth, this population of the world, are more wicked than others. And that's why we have this issue of that Canaanite, why God told Joshua to destroy them. You know, and you know the Canaanites were not all destroyed. Joshua didn't kill every one of them. There was a random. But where are they today? You know, you cannot specifically pinpoint anybody. It's just that it's all so mixed together now. It's just that the spirit of Canaanite are still in mankind, in some men. Very wicked men. Men I would think of like Hitler, Eichmann. You know. And those that will go out there just want to kill. The spirit. People will pay a person to be an assassin, and he will go out there and kill. And that kind of nice spirit is just so wicked. They don't think about the consequences of their faith, they just kill. You know. So, and the saints after the flood, they were all destroyed. Now we have this spirit, now it's fallen, the spirit of the serpent, the trail, destroying the people. So we have come all the churches throughout the Old Testament to the kingdom of Israel, Judah, and then the church age. Now we are coming to this situation where we are right now. And we see that how when Christ started the church, Satan followed through the seed of the serpent. And you know in the day when Jesus Christ came, we have this group of people, religious people. And you know that how that from the physical serpent seed that attacked the children of Israel, it moved into the spiritual side. Using the very thing that God is trying to teach the people. His word, the law. And so when this serpent trail moved, you can see how Satan used some of these religious people to try to confuse the children of God, try to get the children of God, or the children of Israel actually, to deviate from God's law. And you see that in the Old Testament. In the church as well, when Jesus came, Pharisees were there, the Sadducees were there. And he came up against Jesus Christ. and they use the word of God, mind you. And this is why we need to understand this. And well, today the churches out there, because they do not understand the serpent seed, they cannot really understand very much. But for us, we know how the serpent manipulated to the religious people. Really, when the gospel was preached, Nicolaitan spirit came in. And then we have how that in the study of the seven church ages, we have how that the Antichrist spirit moved, worked throughout the churches, the church ages. And we are here today in the age of the last church age. Alright. Now, we are looking at the Bible right now to what's going on, what's ahead of us, and how that the spirit of the Antichrist or the serpent seed, how God deal with it and how God would destroy it. So now in this verse of Revelation 14:18, we are looking ahead of time now, the struggle of the Catholic Church in this world today, building up a one world church that is coming, and we already seen that, and ahead of us will be after the church's rapture, and we are waiting just for that, because we are right now in this period of time where the we are hearing in the second phase now the voice of our Lord Jesus Christ, the voice of the chief angel. Because Paul said, the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of archangel and the trump of God. So there are three phases to his coming. And we are looking at three phases because we're not looking at what the denomination would say. Christ will come from down from heaven with a shout. You know. And then his voice will be like voice of an archangel, and there will be a trumpet blown and call out the saints of God into the rapture. But we know that mysteries are hidden in the Bible. When the Bible said that the Lord shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and then the Bible somewhere else in Paul's words at the last trump, then we realize there's something connecting. Alright, and of course others said the last trump is referring to Revelation chapter 10. Alright, now, we would not know this mystery if God did not send Brother Branham to let us know that the shout is the message. The moment when I read and heard him said the shout is the message, then I realized that I could go by and see in the book of Matthew chapter 25. Because chapter 25 of Matthew follow after chapter 24, which is about the signs of the end time. And then chapter 25, then shall the kingdom of God be likened unto 10 virgins. And we are in that stage now. And because in that parable, it says at midnight, there is a cry. A cry is a shout. A message rings out. You see. So we are past the stage of the shout, as far as we are concerned, because we already heard. We are not in the shout. We already heard it. And we have entered into the marriage. And in the marriage, where there is feasting. There's two things about the marriage. Feasting and in the nuptial chamber. Alright? Because we become one with the Lord. And that's why we are here feasting the Word of God, and we are having spiritual intercourse with our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's what marriage is about. And because we are hearing the voice of the archangel, we are one with him in hearing. While we are feasting is what he's talking to us too. He said, so the time when your shadow is dead, until when we are in that feasting and in the nuptial chamber, there is a time of this festival. Because our marriage, human marriage is only one day event. But in those days, it could take weeks. Right? Many days. If you are rich, you can have, even in some places in the world now, sometimes those are rich, they could have marriage for a lot of days. The festival going on. But when the door is shut and everything is over, the Bible says door is shut means it's over. The foolish came. By the time they found the order that they need to give them this understanding, they knock at the door is closed, it's over. And so they are left outside. But those that are inside have made themselves ready. That's why we read in the book of Revelation, the wife has made herself ready, not the bride. It's not the bride that makes herself ready, it's the wife. So the question is, are you wife now or are you a bride? You say, I'm a bride of Christ. No, I'm not a bride, I'm a wife. I'm part of the wife. You know, a bride is one who has not yet a union with the husband. Is that right? You're still a bride. Huh? On the day that you are married on this earth, I mean, you go to church and people use, I mean, as Christians, we talk about going to church and present ourselves before the minister and, you know, join together as man and wife, then we have all the buffet, whatever it is, right? Correct? It's still a bride. Until they enter into the nuptial chamber and have the wedlock in union, then you become a wife. But the thing about it is that in the Eastern concept of the what the Bible says, the wife has made herself ready. There is a period of time how the wife learns from the husband in the union, in the period of time when the husband gets to know her and she knows the husband. That's why I disagree with a lot of people when they talk about marriage. Some people said, that couple, they just got married last week and this week they are divorced already. You know, and I heard someone said, a couple of them said, you know, they should actually have a courtship at least for a long time. Maybe a year or so, or 2 years. The longer you know the person in courtship, then you should the marriage will work out. Really? Is it true? You may court a girl for a year, 10 years, and then when you get married, after 1 week, it's gone. Why? Because in courtship, it's on the outside. Everybody could put on the front, right? You agree with it? How many Christians go to church, put on the front? I'm a Christian, go to church like a Christian, the Bible and all this. But outside the church, it's another thing. That's why human beings are like this. People have two faces. Many of us. Some people even have three. Huh? You know what I mean? That's what we call a hypocrite. They try to put on the front to show the good side. See, it doesn't mean how long you caught, then you should know about the husband and wife. No. When you only know your husband and wife as the person they are, is when you live together. The good thing and the bad thing. When you go and courtship, you know courtship? The husband, the boyfriend will say, come let me carry your handbag. Handbag! So the husband carried the girl's handbag. Have you seen that? I've seen that. Huh? Then after marriage, carry your own handbag. I no longer carry a bag. You know what I mean? And you can see the good part of it and the bad part. And what is marriage? Marriage is compromising each other, understanding each other. Okay, I take off that bad character, but you need to improve it. Huh? And you can give and take. You see? And that's why here we are. What is so important for us to understand the Word of God? What is so important that we study this Word of God? Huh? So that we know our bad side. Right? Because it exposes us in the light of God's Word. As Robert preached on the sermon. On the message, God has a man who could turn on the light. Right? Don't be like Jacob, you know. Got himself into the mess. Who loved Rachel, but not realizing what he got. Huh? Leah, he said, isn't it? Because he did turn on the light. You make love in darkness, you turn on the morning light, it's not a woman that you love. You see. But God, Christ, will turn on the light of the Word of God to expose you. And that we make ourselves ready. Okay, this bad character side of me, I got to remove it. I'm lazy. Yes, I could remove that. I don't want to spend time with the Word of God. Yeah, I think I need to spend some time discipline myself. Huh? When I'm okay, I don't go to church. I don't even talk to God. When I'm in trouble, I talk to God. Huh? See, we need to understand that we need to have a proper relationship with our Lord. Huh? Right. So now, if the time that we have living now, we are waiting for the trump. And once this trump, the last phase is over, the last trumpet sound, then the bride will be taken out. Then we will enter into the 70th week of Daniel. Okay? So, now, let's go on. In the, if the wise virgin, making herself ready as wife, would be taken up. And so, the foolish would be left out there. The denomination one, well, I don't say that denominational Christian, some of them, all of them don't make the rapture. I don't think so. I believe that there are some who are drifting away from the system, the tradition, but they don't know where to go. There are those who are getting close with the Lord. They have a certain place. I don't know how God is dealing with them. But the thing is that God has given us this privilege to know the truth. Right? And that's why we see touch and shadow, like Enoch was taken before the flood came. The rest, like Noah, went over the flood, went over the tribulation of this great flood. You know, and there's a great flood coming. Are we going to get out of this great flood that is coming, or are we going to, well, be swept over the flood, facing all that torrential onslaught that is coming by the Antichrist upon the people of the world, especially against God's people? Right? Alright, so but now at the place that we are in this time here right now where we are, just before this rapture takes place, before we enter into this 70 week of Daniel, we already see how that the Catholic Church have deceived the whole world. You know, I wanted to talk to my brother-in-law. He said, I want to visit you, you know. I text him, but he refused to answer. He realized that if I go and talk to him, you know, I will talk about the faith. I want people to know the faith. Sometimes you want to talk to a Catholic. Talk to any Anglican people who are just simply a religious people. Many of them do not want to hear, especially when they are deep in tradition. Huh? I find it very hard to. I feel sorry, I'm saying this. I feel sorry for these people that they cannot really look at what they actually believe. You know, what is your religious faith? People will worship anything. I find it so sad. No wonder the world is such that people have move away from God and even believe anything to be God and themselves to be God. Sad. And that's a responsibility that falls upon every one of us. If the Lord moves you to be able to speak and share something with people, do it. You know, we are here not just to believe, but we're here to be a witness, to be able to share that opportunity. We have books and we have tracks out there, even little tracks out there. Pause and ponder. Still they are available. To be able to pass to somebody to at least read. Alright. People want to have knowledge of the world, but they don't have knowledge of the Word of God. So we see the current church now building this one world church, entertain all the politicians and of the nations of the world and to get close to them. And you look at the world today, sometimes the world is going to have peace. Look at the World Cup. Don't bring the people together. Russia, everybody's happy. Russia looks to be not the hooligan, not the bad kind, not the bad guys. And we have Korea, you know, having this summit just recently with the President of America. Yeah, there's going to be peace. And then Trump is going to have a talk and have a summit with Putin, right? This coming month, this coming week or so, you know, on the 18th or something, you know, look, the world is looking for peace. And the Bible said when they said, peace, peace, then comes sudden destruction. Yeah. Out there in Europe, they have that problem. Oh, they are all trying to look out for peace. Yeah, sure. Here we have peace. The Mahathir came along and said, what's the issue again? Huh? But you know, everybody said, okay, come on now, let's have peace. Yes, we all do. But Satan is up. He's, you know, he's smart. He manipulates people. Talk in a conference, in a summit, UN, but behind, a lot of evil being done. Right. So, after that we realized that those are not caught up, they enter into the subtlety of Daniel. And while we have the two witnesses came upon the scene. And I tell you this one thing, the two witnesses, they are Jewish people. They are not Gentiles. Alright? And they will be preaching to the children of Israel. And in their prophesying, of course, they will bring forth miracles and such things like that, that Israel will recognize. Their ministry to see 144,000 of 12,000 of each tribe of Israel. For the purpose that they will later on feed the children of the nation of Israel when the great tribulation comes in. When the man of peace who make this covenant of 7 years, a week, the Antichrist. Now, yeah, the reason I felt so disappointed about my brother-in-law, why he doesn't want me to visit him. I really want to tell him that the secret in the Vatican, that's a lot of dirty things going on in the Vatican. And a lot of Catholics will not want to hear because they don't believe it. Even the Pope Francis was a child molester. They've been recorded, been searched, investigated. The Pope went to investigate because there's too many cases in Australia, in England, Europe, in Africa. When the priests sort of commit all these offense, like if he's a priest over in a place, like for example in Cameroon, and he molests boys, little boys and girls, you know, and they were found out, and they had the hush-hush out and transfer him to another country. You know. That's what they do. And you should see the documentary. The reporter went and took to the hidden camera. But people won't believe it. It can't be this a holy man of God. Holy man of God. That's a problem we have. The Bible never said that a priest cannot marry. Do you know that Old Testament priests they married? But the Catholic comes around and said that priests cannot marry. But you cannot marry. God created man, woman, woman. And you forbid marriage. None cannot marry. Men cannot marry. You want to read a book that I have this thick as my Bible. The wording are just as small as my Bible. The title of the book, 50 Years in the Church of Rome by Father Chao Cheneke. I read the book. I purposely bought the book years ago when I was in the Assemblies of God. And the man who sold it to me over there in Australia, he sent it to me, the book that I ordered. He told me he has a container of all this book exposing the Catholic Church and the World Council. And he said that they are trying to destroy. And that book, when I first read it, it takes me days and weeks to read it. It made me cry. Father Chao Cheneke exposed. 50 years he has been in the Church of Rome. He saw the thing that was going on. The filth, the killing. They raped the nun and then they killed them and buried in the back of the monastery. That's why they want to destroy. There are many books they've exposed against it, but they want to destroy the cause. You know, one day I might be targeted by some of these Jesuit people. If I speak too much of this and put on video on my website, the thing that they are doing, no wonder when Jesus exposed all these Pharisees and Sadducees for their putting bondage upon the people, the thing that they do. They want to kill Jesus too. That's why they will have killed Luther. You know. Sad, isn't it? But I'm glad that a lot of Catholic hearing the truth have come out as well. I thank God for that. So now, when we enter into this, the trial supper still continue. But over in the middle of the week, this serpent, you know, will come upon this world. The Antichrist will break the covenant, and then he will call himself God and want to be worshipped. And everybody must listen to him. And his main intention, therefore, in these 3.5 years of Jacob's trouble, what we call the Great Tribulation, he will go out and destroy the Jews and those who are support of the Jew and Christian as well. Alright. So, that's why we read over in Revelation 12, 14, 18, another angel came out from the altar with a power over fire and cried a loud voice to him that had a sharp sickle, saying, "Thrust in the sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the power of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe." That means the coming of the Lord is nigh in the judgment upon this Antichrist. Now, here we have that the rapture takes place is one thing. It will be a secret catching away of a small group of believers. But when Christ comes back over here, it will be the day of God's wrath. When he comes back with his sins, a mighty angel with him, and he will fight the battle. Alright, let's go to Revelation chapter 6, verse 12 to 17.
Revelation chapter 6, verse 12 to 17. "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely face, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And heaven is parted as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captain, and the mighty men, and every born man and every free man, hid themselves in the den and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?"
Alright, so when the sixth is open, that's about the earthquake that's coming. Now this is a big earthquake, of course, there is only involved over the Middle East. Alright? And the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, during this period of the 70th week of Daniel, this 7-year period, alright, the Antichrist make a covenant with Israel and many nations. And that's what the Pope is doing. Alright. And you don't read so much about it in the newspaper. It's just a talk going on to find favor and sort of thing. And he will be the only one who will bring about a peaceful situation in the Middle East problem. Right. But in the middle of the 70th week of Daniel, or the 7 years later, or 3.5 years later, he'll break the covenant. And because the reason why he broke the covenant, because of the two witnesses, they will prophesy, they will speak, and they will expose the Catholic system, they will expose all the false religions, you know. And then, of course, the Antichrist become furious. And therefore he went out there, a son of a great flood, to go and kill the Christian and the Jew and all that who do not bow down to him. Then at the end of it, alright, when there will be a great earthquake that will be sent by the Lord. You must understand that during this time right now in Europe, we have this European Union. There are around 20 nations that are in this union. But the Bible tells us that you come to a point there will be 10 mansions. 5 are of clay, 5 are of iron. And iron and clay cannot mix, and that's why European Union will not be strong. And even today it is not strong. We have already a whole lot of problems with Greece and Spain and all the issues out there. Even with my immigration problem, and Germany has a hard time trying to settle this whole thing. Alright, so when the beast that the woman sits on, the Bible tells us the woman sits on this beast with 7 heads and 10 horns. After all these years, they realize that the Catholic Church are manipulating them. They will turn and destroy the Catholic Church. Now when it does happen, that's when after that the Lord Jesus Christ will come. Because there will be this battle called the Battle of Armageddon. When nations of the world will come towards the Middle East. The thing about the Middle East today, what is it such a big issue around the world? What is there about the Middle East? Because there are three major religions that is centered there. First, the religion of the Jew. Secondly, the Christians. And thirdly, the faith of Islam. And everybody is fighting over that land. But there is something about Israel in that land. There is something about that land that people wanted to go there. Because it happened to be the crossroad of the world. Also because there are minerals, not just oil. There are minerals worth millions and millions of dollars out there. So, obviously they have a purpose to go there. If he will control the Middle East, he will control the world. And that's why, the Pope would want to have a piece of action over there. Not just in Vatican. He'll move over down to Jerusalem. And so, when the Catholic Church is destroyed, the crown of the Antichrist will be gone. Alright, let's go on to the next one. Because when this great earthquake signaled the coming of the Lord, and everybody would want to escape the wrath of God. That's why they want to hike in the mountain, let the rock fall on them and destroy them and kill them, rather than to suffer the wrath of God. Daniel chapter 12, verse 20, 11 and 12. Daniel chapter 12, 11 and 12.
Daniel chapter 12, verse 11 and 12. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that make a distance up, they shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waited and covered to the 1,335 days.
Alright. So there is, first of all, two numbers here. One is 1,290. 1,290 days. The other one is 1,335 days. 1,335 days. Blessed who wait and come to this 1,335 days. Now, when they come out the Lord to the earth, right? The battle of Armageddon. The Bible called it, we all call it battle of Armageddon. But in many places in the Bible, they call it the Valley of Joseph, they will fight there, the Valley of Jezre, the Valley of Megiddo. And how big is this area? If you know the land of Israel in your mind, and you know where the Sea of Galilee is in the north of the River Jordan, just a little southeast, southwest of the Dead Sea is that Valley of Jezre. That is one valley there. But Valley of Jehoshaphat, here and there we read all these different valleys. And we all, over the place we read in the Bible about this great valley that is to come. The Valley of Jehoshaphat is between Mount Olivet and the city of Jerusalem. And the Valley of Kidron. And in fact, actually, by reading all this, it is just not one particular valley that the battle will be fought. It is a huge valley all joined together. All from the Sea of Galilee in the north, southwest of Sea of Galilee, coming down the western side of the River Jordan, and down towards the east of Jerusalem. The hundreds of miles. A lot of blood will be spilled there. Because the nation will march over there and fight. Alright, so the Bible now tells us, when Christ comes, we have the Great Tribulation, 1,260 days. You all know that, right? It's 1,260 days. But here the Bible mentions, it shall be taken away until that, the sacrifice be taken away, until, let's read that again. From the time that the daily sacrifice be taken away and the abomination to make a desolate set up is 1290 days. So, the abomination that set up is this abomination. The one who called himself God and sit in the temple to be covered, that's the Antichrist. Alright? And we know that the covenant is a week. That means to say 7 years. But here now the Bible adds another 30 days. Because when Christ comes, he will terminate 1260 days. But he'll come, say Christ will come and he'll fight. And in the fighting, there needs to be a clearing up of things. 1290 days. But wait another 45 days when Christ will set up his kingdom upon this earth for the children of Israel. And he will sit in his throne of glory to judge Israel. So, with the Antichrist gone, the trail of the serpent seemed to come to an end. But it didn't. Only that the head was taken down, the Antichrist was destroyed. But the spirit of that serpent still moving. Alright, let's go to the book of Matthew 24:29. Matthew 24:29 to verse 31. Alright? Matthew 24:29-31.
Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from the heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other.
Alright, that's why it says about the after the great tribulation is over, then Christ will come. Alright? Now, Revelation 19:11-21. KK, can you read it? Revelation 19:11-21.
And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dripped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth flowed a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treaded the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw angels standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye might may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnants were stained with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh.
Amen. Alright. So now, as Christ comes out here, as you know, the child, I drew it that way to show, because God's wrath is being poured out. And the Bible here says this, that he was clothed with a vulture deep in blood. A vulture deep in blood signifies that it's going to be a battle, that he comes to fight, and there'll be a lot of blood spilled. Now, the thing is this, is that by this time, in this battle here in the Middle East, you notice one thing. America will no longer be involved here. There will be two superpowers left, because the entire America will be destroyed. Because what's coming? And then what you only have is the superpower of the beast, which is the European Union. And Russia will no longer be there as well. Because you read that there is a battle which we call the Battle of Ezekiel 38-39. Where the northern army from the north, from Turkey, from Russia, from all those, Libya and all this will come and attack Israel. And that's when God's wrath will come out and destroy them. Now this battle can take place very fast, because when we see what's coming, and with all the signs that's on the horizon, the earthquake thing that we always see, there's very, you know, there's so many earthquakes now. The weather changes and a lot of things happen. So, when America really suffered a big earthquake, and they wanted to, and the army from the north come down towards Israel to fight. And you know the history, even the news about Erdogan and the Turkey and all that. And Iran wanted to destroy Israel as well. You know. And we do not know how Russia plays in this part. Because Putin seemed to be quite a nice guy. And he is an Orthodox Christian, you know, and he's simply been a wonderful guy. We don't know what's going to happen. You never know that in the morning, next morning you wake up and you read in the paper, you hear the news, something happened. And this thing can happen overnight. Alright? And so by that time this battle comes, when Christ comes back to fight, what you have is only the European Union and the King of the East. So when the King of the East moved over to fight, when they saw Christ coming, they would turn to fight Christ, of course, in the army. Now, when Christ come back, there will be a visible thing. He will come back with the saints. And the angels come together. You know, the Bible tells us here he will come and fight with his sword. The Bible said, verse 15, his mouth go from another river, go forth a sharp sword. And with it he might smite the nation. And then he shall rule them with the rod of iron, and turn the wine press of the fierceness of the wrath of God. Right? He doesn't have to use literal sword, you know. Today there's so much that of this Hollywood style that you see on in the movie, the fantasy, people fighting alien coming from the heaven. You know that, don't you? And sometimes they show the alien has so much great power and the earthlings are so puny. We don't have enough. And just imagine if the people of the nations of the world, they turn to fight Christ. With the visible right coming down of the horses, the mouth, you know, all of that, and then fighting against this nation. Of course, we were all, the saints of God and angels will all be visible as looking very human. And they will turn to fight, obviously. But just imagine all that God Christ has to do is to speak the word out from his mouth. Alright, and it says here in verse 16, on his vessel and on his right thigh, on his thigh, a name written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, the thigh already represents strength, or the loin itself. So he will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now I was once asked a question by somebody in Singapore. Does the king judge? Now, discussing something, you know, sometimes they open their mouth in haste and ask silly questions because they want to disagree with me. Does the king judge? Does the judge judge or the king? Does the king judge? People think only the judge judges, right? Does the king judge? You can ask any kid, does the king judge? Of course the king do judge. Because he's king. Solomon was a judge, right? Yeah. So I told the brother, I said, what are you talking about? The king don't judge? And I guess he was stumped. Sometimes people just open their mouth in haste and ask questions because the moment is agreement. And of course we see here, the angel said, come to all the birds and all the beasts, come and feast yourself upon the flesh of the kings, the captains. So it must be a great army. Even the beasts have to come and eat them. That's a lot of death. Sure, how many people die? Thousands and thousands. Let's go to the book of Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20 verse 1, 2 and 3. Brother Christopher, which you want to read? Revelation 20, 1, 2 and 3.
And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he held mainly hold on the dragon, their own serpent, which is a devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into a bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nation no more until 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be used for little season.
Alright. So we have, just show that there were the angel with the having a kill a bottomless pit and the great chain in his hand laid a hold on the dragon. Now in the Greek was drakon, of course, and we know that there is no dragon. The word Greek word drakon actually means it's a powerful, mesmerizing creature. That old serpent, and that means to say the devil and Satan himself. And that's why in the Bible we can see that the creature that Adam called serpent. You know, the animal was named by Adam, huh? God did not name the animals. Adam was the one who named the animals. He called a dog, dog, and he called a cat, cat. Alright. But if he did not call a cat, cat, and a dog, dog, but in reverse the name, then we have a dog is a cat today. But you see, when he called those names, when he called this serpent, and he just called that serpent. I mean, he must be a very mesmerizing creature. The serpent must be very handsome looking, mesmerizing. And, as I said, according to the vision that Brother John Dolan had, he said that his skin was kind of shining that when he's in the vision he had in the night. And when he woke up, the Lord told him, he said, that's the serpent. Because he said that when he saw that in the dream, he said, every zoo in the world will want to have this creature. You know. So, Satan must be well mesmerized. That's what the word serpent means. A whisperer, mesmerizing, enchanting. And that's what we see, that's what Satan is. The devil lies. Very charming. How is the devil so charming? People say, devil looks hideous. How do you know devil looks hideous? The Bible says he'll come at an angel of light, isn't it? How is the devil charming? Okay, you know, a woman who seeking for love and saw a handsome, dark, handsome, tall-looking man. Very enchanting, right? And he would sweet talk, very mesmerizing. So that's why how that the Satan manipulate mankind. How he manipulate Eve and get her to commit fornication with him. My sweet talk and all this, and that's what we have problem in the world today about by pedophile. Yeah? Or we have, you know, young men who deceive young girls, girlfriend in school with all the sweet talk. That's what it does. And so now the Bible says he lay hold of the of that dragon and bound him 1,000 years and cast him to the bottomless pit. Chain him up for 1,000 years until the 1,000 years expire. Now, we're looking at the 1,000 years. Just for, you don't have the highlights of that. Okay, first part. Push back a bit. Up to here. Just push back. Push it back. Push it back. Yeah, okay. Alright. So now, this is a 1,000 year period after Christ judged. Alright? 1,000 years. So this 1,000 years, Satan is bound for 1,000 years. 1,000 years. And during his Christ reign, because there is no spirit to entertain mankind during 1,000 years, this 1,000 years will be a peaceful reign of Christ. Alright, let us continue again with all this. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, 5, and 6.
And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the soul of men of them that were created for the image of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived and went with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the third resurrection. Blessed the holy, you see that at part in the first resurrection, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years.
Right. So now, it says here that thrones, I saw thrones, and they sat upon. Now, this is a vision, of course, to show John. But many thrones, and he said that there are those that sit upon this throne, and judgment were given unto them. Now, so, as Jesus said, if you overcome, you will sit with me in my throne, as I overcame and sat with my Father in his throne. So we're talking about authority given to us. Now the authority given to Christ. You see. So in Christ coming back, we will sit with him in his throne and judge the nations of the world. Alright. So this is what the Bible here presented. But the thing is that here it says for the right now, in verse 4, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, the image, neither have received a mark upon their forehead or in their hand, and they live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. So now that tells me one thing. The rapture that's going to take place for a specific people, they're already overcome. They prepare themselves as wife for the husband. Then we have the Antichrist on the earth for that 7-year period. And then you know how he broke the covenant and he cut killing the Jew and those foolish virgins and those that decided to give their life up for their souls to be saved. Then the Bible here said actually down here that they will resurrect. They will come up here. The foolish virgin and all the faithful Jew will come up. Come up after the battle of Armageddon. Yes, they will come out, they will be resurrected. And they will sit with Christ to rule as well. To reign as well. Alright, and to judge. But the rest are the souls of the dead. Now, it doesn't matter who you are. You die now if you're not a Christian. If you die now. You will not resurrect until the 1,000 years is over. Then you will come out at the great white throne judgment. You understand that? There is a judgment of the nation. I mean the literal people of Israel. Where they will be judged by Christ and the saints. So that those that are judged, they deserve to live in the millennium, in the 1,000 years, they will be given that opportunity. But the rest of them, they died. They are still in the grave. They will not resurrect until after the 1,000 years is over. And they will come out at the great white throne judgment. That's what the Bible said, as Jesus said in his in the gospel. There will come the time when they will, those that are in the grave will hear the voice of God. And they'll be judged. One will be given eternal life, the other will not. Will be cast into the lake of fire, into eternal damnation. That is the great white throne judgment. Because in the great white throne judgment, now, if you are in the denomination tradition, you believe that the great white throne judgment, everyone that stood there will be judged, and everyone will be cast into the lake of fire. That is not true. I disagree with all these teachings. And even some of those who are in the message, I disagree with them. And I prove to them that's not true. That everyone that stood in the great white throne judgment are cast into the lake of fire. And I prove to them from the Word of God, two places. One, they said, if your name is not in the book of life, will be cast in the lake of fire. Number two, that is that election of God. What is the election? You know, remember in our Friday discussion, we talk about who are the Chinese people. From what, the Chinese people, from which descent of the three sons of Noah do the Chinese come from? And yet we look at the Bible, they move over to China, 4,000 years history. Why God dealt with choosing a man called Abraham? And then deal with the people throughout the Middle East, and China have his nation, and his kingdom and power, the Chinese. And then all the other subtract, they migrate over, they have theirs. Right. And then they move over, some of them move over to America, became the Red Indian. They never had the gospel. They never hear the gospel. How are they going to be judged by the gospel? That's what the Bible tells. Without the gospel, you cannot be judged by the gospel. Without the law, you cannot be judged by the law. And what the Bible says, you will be judged according to that which is conscience. So God has already election. Before you were born, before I was born, before anybody was born. God had already foreordained in His own will and purpose for His own good pleasure. Remember this. We are clear. He's the Father. Don't complain. Right? Remember the Bible said, can the clay say to the potter, why do you make me a saucer? Why don't you make me a vase? Why don't you make me a teapot? If the potter want to make you the way he want to make you, you are what you are. You didn't choose to become a Chinese. I didn't choose to be a Chinese. You didn't choose to be a Filipino or an Indian or whatever you are. Right? Brandeis not choose to be an African. Because the seed has been scattered. So we are born only when we write, hey, I'm born in India. I'm born in India. Or I'm born in Singapore, India. Right, Brother Luke? You could be born in India, you know. Of all I know, you could be even be born as a Somalian. Or Yimandi. Right? We don't know where we are. Just, and you know one thing about it? Sometimes I ponder and wonder about these things. And out there, in many of these places in Africa, children are born, African children are born, and they die of diseases at a young age. How does God judge these people? God must be very wicked. Some people said to me, God is evil to allow this thing to happen. Children. You know, have you seen pictures, some of the images of children that are malnourished, with this pot belly and sitting on the roadside and dirty and the flies came and all that? Oh my goodness. What is life? God created life. wickedness, the one, the mess of the whole thing. The one is not God, stop it. God has His time. Suffering is part of life because of what happened. But in the end of it, I don't know how many children out there in Africa, in other places who never heard about the gospel, they died. But there's election. How God chose, I don't know. How He ordained, how He elect, I don't know. Huh? And you ever wonder the whole universe? You look at the solar system. Why are the planet the way it is created in this position and move in this way? What happens if we remove one of the planet out of it? What will happen to the whole solar system? Will it go into a chaos? God is a creator, He is a mathematician, He is a physicist, He is a chemist. Everything is in balance. But the earth God has given to man. And He has to test the creature that He had created in His own image. Right, I understand that. He's God not making me a robot. Because I wouldn't want to come near to come to the Lord. Hallelujah, praise You, O Lord. Every day come, praise You, O Lord. Mechanical. You ever see how robot come, how they make the work? And would you want to, if you are a being or a parent, a father, or someone that people love you, you want to have this, create all this to worship you? No. You know, I read about this in Japan, that there are some men, they are so lonely, that they befriend virtual girlfriend. Virtual girlfriend. If you don't have a girlfriend, have a virtual girlfriend. Wow. Just imagine, like people play the computer game SimCity. You know, clear. But this is a virtual girlfriend. And then even so involved in it that if they don't talk to this virtual girlfriend, there's something is missing. But God is not like that. God wants your love, wants your choice. That part I understand very much. And that's why a lot of people say, no, I don't believe in God. You know, all they have, their own religion and philosophy. All right, so now those that come up here in that after the tribulation, they will live through the 1,000 years, and the Bible then here said, blessed, verse 6 of chapter 20, blessed and holy is he that have part in the first resurrection, on such a second death have no power. Right. Blessed are those that have part in the first resurrection. The first resurrection, because the second resurrection will involve a second death. That's why in the second resurrection, or in the second judgment, the great white throne judgment, here there will be death. Alright? Because the Bible tells us this. Alright? That in that great white throne judgment, books will be opened. You'll be judged according to your works. And then the book of life will be opened. And if those whose name is not written in the book of life, because in the lake of fire. See? Alright, let's go to the next one. Matthew 25:31 to 46. Matthew 25:31 to 46. Brother Henry.
Matthew
31 to 46.
When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. and shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was in hunger, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came out to me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee, a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when we saw thee sick, or in prison, came unto thee? And when the king said, answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was in hunger, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And this shall go away into the everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal.
Now here, in this parable, the narration that Jesus gave to the disciples, is that when he come and sit in his throne of glory, now, there are different kind of seats that Christ will come and sit. One throne is this throne of glory. But before that, we were, those who are raptured, do you know that everybody has to be judged, huh? Including you and I, but we have already been judged while we are here on this earth, in what we believe, in what God gave it to us. So when we, are translated, we will be standing before him to be judged for what? For reward. We will not be judged for our sin because it has passed away. We will be judged at the bema seat of Christ, or the judgment seat of Christ, to receive our reward. But when Christ comes back, he sits on his throne of glory. This is called the throne of glory because the children of Israel were expecting that. Huh? They always look for the throne of glory of God, and that's Christ will sit on his throne of glory, and that throne will be the throne of David. For he was the son of David. And they are looking forward, the children of Israel were looking forward to that. Then when he sits there, all nations will be gathered unto him, and that throne where he sits will be in Jerusalem, facing the valley of Jehoshaphat. And nations will be gathered there. Now, you just imagine how long it will take. 45 days. After the battle is over, 30 days, they clean up all the dead bodies, the animals and the beasts and the birds come and eat those bodies. And then we have Jesus then, have the saints of God, have the people of the nation of the world be judged in this 45 day period. All the nations of the world be gathered. But I'm not talking about individual nations. Okay, Singapore people are gathered there. But it doesn't mean that, this nation are all sheep, all going. No. If judge nation means the nationality of people in the nation. Everyone will be judged. So I don't know how many people in the world, every nation, what percentage will actually get into the age of millennium. And the age of millennium of Christ's reign is called the age of regeneration, where Christ will bring back the earth's condition back to as it was in the beginning. So, if you look at it, the Bible carefully, he says here, in verse 32, And he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goat. Alright. Jesus Christ come and just as a shepherd dividing his sheep from the goat. But you know that Jesus Christ don't have goats. He's a shepherd. He doesn't have goat. Alright? Goat butts. And now Jesus says something, but And you tell people about the word of God, but Brother Bram said, but this said, but that one said this. It's not about what who say what. So don't but. Only God but. Sheep doesn't but. So when we look at it, Jesus came as a shepherd, separating sheep from the goat. He is not a shepherd to the people of the world. He come to judge as a shepherd. You know some shepherd out there in the world, they have goat and sheep, right? You know that, don't you? Yeah. Bring them up to the pasture. And I come down, you separate the sheep to one side, and then the goat to one side in your own home, or else the goat will stop butting the sheep. So Jesus came and judged the world, judged nation, and separate them. And you know the separation is simple. If we have one group, he separate. Okay, you are the sheep. You are the goat. And the sheep are the one. Who, as the Bible here says, he was giving a narration. What do you put as a sheep? What do we do to you? He said, because I was hungry, you give me food, but I'm thirsty, you know, you give me drink, when I'm sick, you visit me and comfort me, and all this. Who are these people? You did this to my people, my brethren. Who is the brethren of Christ? Who are the brothers of Jesus Christ? The Jews and the Christian. For we are related by the faith in Abraham. Right. And that's why in the Second World War, you know, during Nazism, how that many Jews were taken, captured, and put to death. Right? And there were many Gentiles in Holland, in Poland, in Germany, in many places, in France. They have Christian, they have Jewish friends. Hide them in your home somewhere, risking their life for them. As much as you do it to my people, you do it to me. And these are the people that will inherit eternal life. And here the goat is said to be cast, all right, into everlasting fire, where the sheep will enter in. So what we have now is that the Lord is separating that trail of the serpent and put the sheep as those that are righteous, because they did the right thing, into the millennium, so that they could repopulate the earth. I don't know 100%. How many was the population of the world today? 7 billion? Right. More or less. Huh? And that's how the war came and the death came and all these things during the Antichrist reign. If Christ come to judge, and let's say the whole world will be 2 billion people. And 2 billion people in the age of millennium, they will repopulate this earth. And Christ regenerate the earth. And in 1,000 years time, where there's no war, no diseases, the population will increase. 1,000 years. How old is the earth today? 6,000, 7 billion. 1,000 years without death, no disease, how many billion it will be? Huh? So you talk about the regeneration. Alright, let's go on and finish off with a few other verses. Isaiah 65:20-25. Isaiah 65:20-25. Well, Luke, do you have it? Read.
Isaiah 65:20-25. There shall be no more hands than infants of days, nor an old man that had not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be cursed. And they shall build houses and inherit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build, another inhabit, they shall not plant, and another eat. For as the days of the tree are the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feast together, the lion shall eat the straw like the bullock. And that shall be like the serpent's meat. They shall not hunt, nor destroy. They shall not hurt, nor destroy in all my holy mountain, say the Lord.
Right. Can you imagine there is no infant of days? So if anybody who, an old man, if a child shall die 100 years old, they say, remember that there's no disease that can live 100 years or 1,000 years old. Let's say right now, if you go into the millennium at the age of 30, right, and you follow the rules of the land, the rules of God, and the laws of God, you can live until the end of it, you'll be 1,030 years old. Older than Methuselah. Because there's no death, no sickness. But if there should be a man who died at the age of 100 years old, it means he's an infant. Why did he die? After all that, no diseases, why did he die? He died because he's rebellious. Don't forget, the natural people that goes in a ship, they still have that nature, right? In them. Those certain is bound up, there's not much, so much of, and it's, what do you call it, in sedition, right? You call that word? Or in being, what we call, incited by the spirit of Satan. Yet the human spirit within us makes a choice. Like Eve. You know. Who don't have the original sin, still have a choice to make. Right? Yes. You know. Even right now, we as Christians, we have the Spirit of Christ, yet still we make choices. You understand? Alright. And it says, there be houses, and nobody, you build a house, you live in it, nobody come and take it over. You plant, nobody will rob it. That means everybody dwells safely. Now there is one thing here that I notice here in this verse 22. It appears to me that there is another group of people right here, separate from these people that are allowed to live in the millennium. Because in verse 22 it says this, they shall not build an uninhabited, they shall not plant and another eat. For as the day of a tree are the days of my people. Now, after all, when Christ rules as king, are they not his people? Yes. When King David ruled over the children of Israel, are they not his people? Right. But look at the next phrase, next clause. And my elect shall long enjoy the works of their hand. Who are the elect? And I believe this elect will be those who rule with Christ. Will enjoy, who will long enjoy the work of their hands. This is specifically like a parenthesis. Mentioning about the saints of God ruling with Christ. Because we will rule with Him. Remember? Remember the parable over in Luke chapter 19 somewhere? About a man went over to another country to be crowned as a king. Before he left, he gave the servant, this person, a piece of coin, value of a coin, whatever, and they were supposed to do something with it. When he came back, one of them said, I invest this coin, now you have 10. And one says, I have 5, and now, I mean, I have 1, but now I have 5. And the Lord said, yes, now that you have this, you can rule over 10 cities, you rule over 5 cities. And the other one says, I didn't do anything, I keep it because you are a man who, is very strict. So you must understand that there will be people, there will be saints who rule with Christ upon this earth, over a certain district of maybe 10 towns, 10 provinces, like that. And when we rule with Christ, Christ's throne is in Jerusalem. That's his palace. The saints that are ruling with him in the millennium, if you're a Filipino, you're not going to rule in Singapore. Yeah? If you're an Englishman, you're not going to rule in Africa. The people will rule over their own kind. That's for sure. And the elect will enjoy the work of their hands. Isaiah chapter 11, 6. Isaiah chapter 11, 6. To verse 9. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and fettling together, and a little child shall lead them. and the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like ox. Ah, that's one thing, huh? And the suckling child shall play on the horn of an alps, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the water covers the sea. As long as the knowledge of the Lord covers the earth, like the water covers the sea, there will be glory. So you don't have to worry about your little kid going out there to play. Not like today. You know, your little kid go out to play in the backyard. I mean, not Singapore, it's a city anyway. We're talking about those land that you have. On the farmland. Be careful you don't go out there. There'll be snakes there, huh? There'll be bad, there'll be this. The wild animals, be careful, my child. But you know, millennium, I tell you one thing, the kids go out there, your little 5-year-old boy or little, you know, 6-year-old girl, you don't have to worry about them. As parents, they might even come in and say, Mommy, Daddy, let me introduce you to my daddy bear, a grizzly bear. They will not get hurt. Imagine that. Huh? Because there's no spirit of sin to stir up all this. Revelation 27 to 10. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of prison. And he shall go out to deceive the nation which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them to battle. A number of them it has the sand of the sea. And it went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. And fire came down from God of heaven, devoured them. And the devil that deceived them were cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. Here I need to explain a little bit. Here we have, after the 1,000 years expired, Satan will be loosed out to deceive the whole world. Alright? The Bible said here, in the four quarters of the earth, four quarters, every four corners, Gog and Magog. Gog means what? Anti-God people. People who don't want to, who just want to fight against God. Anti-God not means they do not believe. Anti-God means they just want to rebel. Magog means the land of God. And how earth would still be when Satan let loose, he will not deceive people. In every place, there will be people who are Gog in spirit. And they were gathered to fight against Christ. The holy city, Jerusalem, and the camp of God. What are the camps of God? Whatever we saints are, we are God's camp. We are God's people, their camp. Alright. And then the Bible said, verse 10, and the devil that deceived that was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And they'll be tormented day and night. The beast and the false prophet are cast already into a lake of fire. Alright? Because when they are taken, we're talking about the spirit. The beast and the false prophet, we're talking about the spirit of the beast and the false prophet. Because Satan has a lot of, well, what do you call that? Cahoots. Or his cohorts. Or his tongue. Or his team. Of fallen angels. Huh? He's all his those that walk below him. Because you know Satan is Lucifer and he's beautiful. And he's the most beautiful of all the angels, but he fell because of pride. But he has a lot of those that will listen to him. And though the beast, the spirit of world, the one who influenced the beast nation, be taken. And the one who influenced the second beast, America, those two spirits will be taken and cast into the lake of fire. They are there. And Satan then will be taken and cast into the lake of fire. And Satan will be there. So there are three kinds of spirit. The spirit of Satan himself. And they are one who influenced the beast nation. And the other one who influenced the second beast nation. As American nation is called the false prophet. He has a mouth that's given to speak like a dragon. Yeah? And the first beast that is in Europe, the one with 7 heads and 10 horns, where the woman sits upon her, upon him. Last verse, Revelation 20:11-15. And I saw a great white throne. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no more place for them. And I saw the dead small and great stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. They are judged according to their works. Remember this. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Whosoever whose name was not written. But there will be those whose name was written. That's what I want to tell people. That judgment, your white throne judgment, does not mean that everyone that stands there, they are cast into the lake of fire. They are not all. Why? Because election is there also. Or else this verse would not be mentioned. Whosoever was not found written. Right? Otherwise you will be said that all souls that stand before the Lord in your white throne judgment will be cast into the lake of fire. Alright, in closing, we can just recap a little bit. We see that God redeemed back the earth. The day that when sin came into the Garden of Eden, yet we have the Sabbatic line with the Canaanite line. But the Bible, God specifically, as I said, put the blame on the Sabbatic man crossing over the line and took the Canaanite woman for wives. And that's what causes the giant to come. And of course, the other side, you also intermarried woman on the other side, no doubt about it. But God put the blame on the Sabbatic man. You see? And but then God had to have redemption. So how did God redeem them? How did God get rid of all the serpent? By sending the flood. That is the first phase. To remove this serpent line. The second phase came was the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is right here in this period. When Christ comes to destroy that Antichrist spirit. Because the Antichrist spirit has gone into destroying his word. Not like what it was in the days of before the flood. Where there was no law yet given. Where the word of God was not given the way that we have today. But after the gospel was preached, Satan moved around destroying, deceiving. And that's why God had to destroy the Antichrist church. Destroy the spirit and the false prophet as well. And then we have the third phase, which is the final deception of Satan. When Satan went around the whole, after he was let loose, he will go around deceiving the whole nation to fight against Christ and his people. But Christ destroyed them. And then Satan himself will be cast into a lake of fire. So each of these phase, these three phases, brought about an elected people. After the flood, God chose Abraham. Right? Then in the gospel age, there you have John the Baptist, and Christ came and gave the gospel. And then lastly, of course, Christ finally destroyed Satan and forever. So then after the rest of us, those that are saved, will enter in a new heaven, new earth. Satan will no longer be there. There will be no more serpent seed, because in the regeneration, that's what Jesus do, is to take the word of God to regenerate the people back. And in the new heaven, new earth, you will have two kinds of people. The natural people, as it would be that Adam would live forever, right? When he was created a natural person. But that he was not immortal. Right? If you plunge a knife in Adam, he would die. So naturally, people that enter into the new heaven, new earth, if you plunge a knife in them, they will die. Right? They are mortal. But they will live forever. As long as there's no killing. Because there will not be any killing anyway. And they are the people, the other group of people will be the glorified saints of God. Which is of the holy city, New Jerusalem. The spiritual one that came down from heaven and dwell with them. Amen? So that ends the trail of the serpent when Christ put it down. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your grace. Bless now thy people, Father, for the word that you have given us. We keep it in our heart, Father. Reflect on it, meditate on it, Lord, as to your grace and mercy for us. We ask that you bless all now, in Jesus' name.